Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started on your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Coexisting. It is Friday, June 28th. We are glad you are here. We are glad it is time for Forbidden Door. Well, I think so. AEW Forbidden Door this weekend. We'll be doing predictions. But I hope everyone's doing well on this Friday. And or depending on when you listen to this, we hope you're having a great day. But as we start every show, Maggie, how you doing?
I want to go to bed, bro. It's, you know, I'm usually moping about, you know, the heat wave that we have every summer. You know, like basically Plovdiv is hell. Like we have high temperatures and extremely high humidity. So it's hell. And like the last 2 days we've had wind. And I could actually sleep at night. So
nice. That's
a plus. So how about we talk a bit about you this time? You were on True Heel Heat right before our show talking about Forbidden Door. Tell us, how was that? Because I don't have any stories for you this week, guys. I'm sorry if I'm disappointing all of you. We're going to have to get a bye this week, okay? Let's move on. Rob, okay. how was your show?
It was fun. You know, like as I said before with you, before we went live, anytime we get to do a show with SB3, it's a good time because he's just a good person to work with. And he's just fun and a good guy. And we like those people over at True Heel Heat.
Adore SP3. He's a fellow OC junkie. We've talked about OC a lot on two podcasts on Fightful Overbooked right here. We've had a wonderful time. So before I get all the plugs in for today's show, because I screwed up a bit and we don't have a Cooper effect for this show, I will use this incredible time to express all, like, me and Rob both our immense support towards Corey Michaels. He was a guest on the Spotlight yesterday. This goes to show you, just because the Spotlight is on a specific time and during a specific day in which I can actually watch it live. It's one of the rare Fightful shows that I can watch live. And I watch it almost every week live. I'm in the chat, I moderate and everything. And this week I couldn't. And this week Corey Michaels is a guest on the show and I'm like, well, crap. And the stupid thing is Corey didn't even mention it to me because he wanted to be a surprise. And I'm like, you, damn it. I've made a thing not cursing on the show for the first 5 minutes, and I'm not gonna, but I called him a naughty word. So after you watch this show, of course, our fans of Coexisting, please go on the main channel for Fightful and tune in to the Spotlight with Jeremy and Steven Jensen. A wonderful chat. This, like, and I've mentioned this to Corey today. I've known Corey for about roughly 4 years. Like, we've been DMing back and forth. And I never heard Corey's voice, like, ever. And, like, Rob, you know, like, people that are, you know, that have been watching our show know I'm a voice person, okay? Uh-huh. And, like, people who want to hear my voice can hear my voice because, like, every Friday we have, you know, the show. Also, you know, my drink videos and, you know, some close friends like Soupy, Corey, Doc, you. When I'm in a hurry, I text you back with a video DM. Like, you guys know my voice, right? Like, it's fine. Nope, I've never heard Corey's voice. I've never heard Corey's voice. And, like, I heard Corey's voice today. And I'm like, this is so nice. I can't believe this is happening. Because, like, I always respected Corey's privacy. I never asked him to because, like, unless he wanted to. And now I did. And this was so great. And a day will come when we will have Corey on our show. But I'm just so incredibly happy for Corey. Spotlight is a wonderful show to be on. I wouldn't know because I've never been on. But, like, Rob has. And Rob had a wonderful time on that show. But, like I said, immensely proud of Corey. And I'm so here for this. Go watch the show. Support everything that Corey has been doing lately. Let's fucking go.
All right, well, we're going to start off the show with our first Super Chat. Which Forbidden Door are we talking about? Well, it's not Ryan, one. It's not one you Google.
Yeah, it's not the one you Google. Thank you, Ryan, for giving me, you know, the green light, you know, for the plugs. I'm sorry, I just burped. This is so professional.
But hi, guys. And I will say this, though. They don't even have forbidden doors in Bulgaria.
Yeah, we don't even have forbidden doors. None of our doors are forbidden, okay? All of them are green doors, okay? Okay, so, like, that's not as cool as I wanted it to be. So, hi, guys. Thank you for joining our show. Thank you for being here. The simplest way to support us and our show is to leave a like on the video. Please, it helps us out immensely. After the podcast is done, please leave a wonderful comment or just, you know, a non-wonderful comment. We're just going to, you know, say hi to you. Below that, just leave a comment after the show is done. It gets all of the engagement going on YouTube. And that's a really important thing for us. If you want to support us via your wallets, please open them up and leave a super chat. It's the bottom of the YouTube live chat, the little dollar sign. Any donation will be immensely appreciated. If you're watching on other streaming platforms, you can send a humper chat at humperchat.com. It will also get your comment or question read on the air. We do recommend humper chats because it makes us keep a little bit more of the monies. So yeah. we can get into our show now.
All right. You know, before we
Rob, were you? Yeah, go ahead.
You know, usually I always save the jokes at the end, but I don't want to forget them today. So let's just do it now.
Okay.
All right. So give me 1 second here to get this on the screen, because we know part of the fun is me seeing your reaction to these.
Yes.
So Maggie, how does The Rock pee?
How?
He Dwayne's his Johnson.
You know, the joke's not funny, but your delivery was.
And the last one. Did you hear about the guy who dipped his testicles in glitter? Pretty nuts. There you go. I didn't want to get those out of the way. I needed to. I did it for the kids.
Oh, yeah. Especially that last one was for the kids, you know?
Yeah. Well, guys, we're going to talk about Forbidden Door, and we have a guest on here to talk about the Forbidden Door today. He will be providing tech support for... I can't even do that with a straight face. I couldn't do it without breaking either.
He's
with Bleacher Report. He's been on the show plenty of times. He's probably cursing right now. His name is Chris
Miller. He's not. He's still over this whole gimmick.
He might be. He probably is, but he still probably doesn't... who knows? Who really knows? But feel free, if you are having problems with Bleacher Report's app, to send him a message. Let's bring him on. He is Doc Chris Mueller. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Go to hell, Rob. Hi, Maggie.
Hi. Well.
Sounds like he's doing okay there, Maggie.
It's like Kate barely even makes the joke anymore, but Kimmy last night on her show with Kyle, and now you
can't escape. Yeah, we got to keep it going, you know. You have to.
Kate's too cool for this.
No, she'll never give up the gimmick. It's just been a little while.
Yeah. No. Like she every now and then she'll dust off some classics.
Yeah.
How are you, Doc? How are you doing? You sound pretty wonderful.
I'm doing okay. I ate a nice big breakfast for lunch.
Yeah, did you eat your food?
I did.
Did you eat your food? It was so fucking delicious looking.
It turned out very good. And
shocking.
Now I'm just waiting for SmackDown to start for work stuff. Other than that, I got nothing going on today, so it's fun.
Are you guys excited for SmackDown? It's in the garden.
Yeah, I am. I was going to say, anytime WWE goes to, one of their venues that are big, that we like, or cities that we like, Chicago, WWE, they're not there every week. So I'm kidding now. AEW's been really good about not going so much. But anyways, when WWE's when WWE's in Chicago or when WWE's in cities like Boston or Madison Square Garden, of course, in Los Angeles, stuff like that. When they go to the big arenas, and there's just something special about those shows. It feels like maybe it's just the crowds a little bit louder. I don't necessarily know, but when they're at Madison Square Garden, it brings it to a different level because of all the history and I guess anticipation. Tonight you have the they're gonna do the. Something with the, I already forgot what it was, like the name of it, but basically it's, isn't it basically honoring one of those or making one of them part of the bloodline?
Jacob Fatu.
Yeah, I couldn't remember how the way they worded it, but
is it like an ascension ceremony or something like that?
Something to that extent. You would think I'd be professional enough to remember.
And then the ascension can't come back.
Oh, the knowledge. Acknowledgement ceremony, bloodline acknowledgement ceremony is what they're calling
acknowledgement
it.
Acknowledgement ceremony.
Yeah.
Is this a jab at Roman?
Well, a lot of people think either Roman or The Rock is showing up tonight.
Yeah, and maybe that was the case, but I don't know.
I don't
now
think with, Roman Roman's coming.
Yeah, with his father unfortunately passing away.
Passing,
who knows? You know, it's one of those things where based on the business and how his dad was, maybe Roman knows his dad would want him there. Who knows? I can't speak on that, obviously. So, but let's go ahead and we'll talk about SmackDown later, but let's go ahead and get into Forbidden Door, which is this Sunday. You can watch it on Bleacher Report, Thriller, and other pay-per-view networks. But
I'm gonna have to ask you one thing before we start. I'm sorry for interrupting you, Rob. How is your guys' excitement levels for the show?
I'm excited. I think it's a great card. I know some people aren't really they're like, eh. But I like a lot of the wrestlers. CMLL is being part of it. Stardom's part of it. I, on SP3 show, when we did the Forbidden Door preview, I think I gave it an 8 out of 10 for me. I'm very anxious for it. I think the show is going to be outstanding. So there's that.
Okay.
For my opinion.
I mean, from an in-ring perspective, a lot of these matches we already know are going to be great. Like Mina and Tony are going to be great. I'm sure Stephanie and Mercedes are going to be great. Swerve and Ospreay are going to kill it. Orange Cassidy and Zack Sabre Jr., they're going to have a great match. But like, I'm maybe only invested in like two of the actual match outcomes in terms of like where the story goes. Because like, I don't watch New Japan regularly, so the outcome of Moxley versus Naito means very little to me. Danielson could lose to Takagi and not suffer at all, or he could win and hooray. Like, you know, it's big deal. But like, that's the thing. AEW and WWE both have a pattern of like, even if the build isn't great, the actual show will be fun. Because the wrestlers always go out there and kill it.
Yeah.
And of course, Willow's going to be on the show, so I'm happy.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. But like for me, the thing is, I know I'm gonna sound a bit harsh. For me, Forbidden Door, like the meaning of Forbidden Door, it doesn't have much stand anymore because
everyone's like, working together now.
Everyone's working together. First of all, everyone's working together now. And second of all, you know, New Japan has like, their two biggest stars are now working for the AEW roster, both Okada and Will Ospreay. And I know this caused a big blow for New Japan, and they will be okay. But like the only match I truly care for, New Japan wise, is Zack Sabre Jr. in Orange County.
Orange Cassidy.
Orange County.
Oh, Jesus. I'm
watching the OC a little bit.
Yeah, no, I'm really not. I'm watching the Vampire Diaries, and a bunch of people are actors from Orange County. So, like, probably that's it. Damon is so hot. I swear to God. So, the thing is, if Zack Sabre Jr. loses to Orange Cassidy, I swear to God, I will rant for a minimum of 15 minutes next week.
Because he's lost both his Forbidden Door matches, correct?
Well,
or am I wrong about that? Yeah.
Well, he lost to Claudio. And yes. Who did he face last year?
Was it Danielson?
Yeah. Danielson was Okada.
Hold on, I'm gonna go look right now.
Yeah, look. I'm not gonna take that well.
Well, it was a fatal four-way last year. Cassidy beat Sabre, Shibata, and Daniel Garcia last year.
Yeah, okay. So I'm not gonna take that. I want Zack Sabre Jr. to actually win because they eventually have to go for Zack Sabre Jr. versus Bryan Danielson at some point, right? Because number three, the first one was won by Bryan Danielson. The second one was won by Zack Sabre Jr. And none of those was via submission. So it eventually will have to lead to a submission match, which will be the third one. But I'm going way overboard here. My point is, I'm not exactly excited for New Japan for Forbidden Door because I know predictable matches don't necessarily mean you know, bad matches. I am sure, exactly like Chris said, the pay-per-view itself is going to be incredibly good. I'm not saying anything about it, but like my excitement levels are non-existent. But let's get into, you know, the actual match card so we can actually talk about it.
All righty, let's do it. Well, Zero Hour is going to be hosted by Renee Paquette, RJ City, Rocky Romero, and Double J, Jeff Jarrett. That's JEFFJARRET.
Okay, you saying that right after I hit my knee and almost lost my life, this is double the horribleness, Robert.
Here, I'll make it better. Here,
now, hold on. We can't really be mad at Jeff Jarrett right now because the whole Owen Hart video package thing they did with him was phenomenal. Like, this is the most I've been invested in anything Jeff Jarrett has done in years.
I'm sorry, I didn't buy it.
What do you mean?
It didn't work. It wasn't as emotional for me as it was for everyone else. I get it. But I still don't like...
Told you. I make it better. The cat. So...
this is kind of a manipulation, just FYI.
Yeah.
Just manipulating me. Guys, send us your money and tell Rob how manipulative he's being. So let's move on. Okay? Because like, oh, look how big it is.
Yeah, it's a big cat. Big owner, big cat.
Doesn't like that the camera, huh?
That is a...
No, not really.
It's show your show us your face.
Oh,
such a big kitty.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
You know, let's
you, go, you so... know you know what we call a cat like this in Bulgarian?
Big cat.
Like Chuflek.
Ah.
Yeah. Try saying that.
Yeah. I'm good.
No, you cannot. So let's move on with the card. It's 20 minutes in and we haven't talked about anything.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and go into it here. We have... Let's go to the 0 hour match. Willow Nightingale, Tam Nakano versus Chris Statlander and Momo Watanabe. Maggie, let's start with you.
I feel like Chris Willow Nightingale will actually pin Momo. This is actually, you know, because I do predict the Chris Statlander beats Willow Nightingale in the Owen. So I think that Willow can get the win for her team in this match. I might be incredibly wrong. Just Doc?
No. Or go, yeah, go ahead, Doc.
Well, I was going to say, I actually agree with you. I think it makes sense to give Willow a win here. And then that way, when Chris gets her win back, it'll be even bigger for a singles match in the Owen. So yeah, I agree. And I think you're right that it'll be Willow pinning Momo just because they want to protect Statlander.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Rob, what were you about to say before I interrupted you, like for the thousandth time today?
Just that I think Statlander's team will win. Or excuse me, I think that... I think Willow Nightingale's team will win because I think Statlander is going to beat Willow Nightingale in the...
Are you going to do the entire show with that cat on your shoulder?
No, I'm going to try not to. So, but that's what I say right now.
Will you at least introduce the cat to our chat?
Yeah, that's Tiggy. Say hi, Tiggy.
Hi.
She's just purring like crazy. Well, she was until I said that.
Like, I did not consent to have my voice on, yeah, on camera.
She appeared on Mark Order Podcast the other night, too. Nice. Okay. Yes, don't worry. That is not going to happen. Well played.
Where did that come from, Joe? Come on.
Yeah. And he was there.
This isn't, okay, this isn't Game of Thrones, okay?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't in the Game of Thrones. Did somebody breastfeed a cat on that show?
No, not a cat, but like a really, really stupid, annoying child that was, you know, in its teens.
I mean, children need to be breastfed.
Not in their teens, okay?
Oh, in their teens? Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people are into that. Anyways.
All right.
So we all have Willow's team winning. So we're going to try to get this back on track here.
Yeah, we're in the lucky show.
We have a 0 hour Owen Hart Foundation match with Mariah May taking on Saraya. As I said on SP3's True Hill Heat show. Ow, shit. God.
Oh, yeah, look at his cute butt.
Yeah, that's what I said. Anyways, I have Mariah May winning, and she will win. And I also want to say hello to Harley Cameron. I hope she's doing well.
Aww.
Yeah, that's how I feel about that. But yeah, Mariah May is going to go all the way to win the Owen, and she will be facing none other than Toni Storm at All In.
Exactly this. I feel like this is Mariah May's tournament to win, and the story is right there. Actually, Mariah May and Toni Storm's story on Dynamite is one of the most compelling storylines for me and in the company. And I have been waiting for 4 years to say that about AEW. Yes, let's go, Doc.
So I agree that that's probably what's going to happen, but there's this weird part of me that thinks what they might do is have Toni and Mina get into it at ringside and do something weird to cost Mariah the match. And then later in the night, that'll have some kind of effect on the outcome of Toni and Mina, but that feels more like a WWE booking thing than an AEW thing. So I do think Mariah is probably winning. And see, it's so hard for me to pick between Mariah and Statlander for who should eventually win the actual Owen.
That's the problem. Like, you're biased towards Statlander.
Not anymore. Ever since she turned on Willow, I've been tweeting, I hope that she has a medium evening.
Oh, so you're showing, you're favoring Willow Nightingale? You have a favorite?
100, well, Willow didn't hurt anybody.
Chris Statlander was first.
Well, she was in AEW first, though.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, but Willow didn't turn on anybody. Willow is a perfect angel in all of this.
Well, she did.
But yeah, I do think Mariah is going to win here. And
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We will move on to our next match. And that is Mystico and Lucha Brothers taking on Takahashi. I think it's Yoda and Titan.
Yeah.
I know it's not Titan. I think it's Titan.
Titan.
I want to make a Yoda joke, like we're finally getting the Star Wars coming through the Forbidden Door, but it's spelled differently.
Yeah.
It's not that. I just want to see a win for the Lucha Brothers.
Yes, here. Please.
Yes.
Make them matter again.
Like, yeah, please. Rey
Fénix came back in a random singles match. Like, they didn't make a big deal out of his return after months away.
And he was fucking jacked.
So yeah,
right, they are. Huh? That is.
Tony talked up Mystico a little bit in our interview too. He really likes that guy. So yeah, I think Mystico and Lucha Bros are getting.
Why did they just not list LIJ and their names? That would have been better for me, because now I look at the photo and they look familiar now. I was like, they look familiar. I don't watch much New Japan as I wish I did lately. But even then I still recognize them. Yeah, hell with it.
That's fine.
Anyways, I have New Japan winning. LIJ.
Okay.
Let's go that route.
You're wrong, but okay.
What else is new? That's how I do these prediction shows. I go with the wrong answer.
LIJ on True Heel Heat?
I might have. I can't see. I already forgot what I did.
Great.
That just tells you how it's going today. So let's go to the main card.
Please.
We have the TNT. This is the best photo I could find of it, by the way. So the TNT Championship ladder match. There is the mystery person has been revealed, but we're not giving spoilers on this. So they will be shown tomorrow night. It's either El Fantasmo or Action Andretti. I will let you guys pick who you think will be part of it. So Leo Rush, Jack Perry, Takeshita, Mark Briscoe, and Dante Martin. I want Dante to win. Not going to happen. So I went with Takeshita. I think Takeshita will win.
Really?
I do think he will win.
I think this is Jack Perry's title.
It probably is, but
yeah,
I just have a feeling that's the direction they're going to go.
I'll be incredibly happy if Takeshita actually won. Because I've been wanting for Takeshita to actually hold a championship for a long time now, because like we've seen what he can do in the ring, okay? Like we've seen it, the wonderful matches that he's had, bangers after bangers. I feel like the next step is a title. I mean, before the whole implosion of the family starts. I believe you're right, but this is Jack Perry's match to win.
I'm perfectly fine with Perry winning. I just picking.
By the way, Action Andretti for me should be the last person in the match.
Okay, I don't think so, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, but like you said that it was already announced who that person was.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, like I haven't looked at the spoilers. I'm just saying okay. I think
because it makes sense in storyline between him, Leo Rush, and Dante Martin. That's why I'm.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
that's why.
That's a good point. I didn't think of that, but
yeah, I haven't seen the spoilers. I have no idea who that final person is. I'm just saying that it makes sense storyline wise what they've been doing on Rampage, Doc.
Well, I do know who the final person's going to be, but it doesn't matter because I don't think they're winning regardless of who it is.
Yeah, but like, am I right? Don't say it.
I believe it's Jack Perry's match to lose.
Oh, like, I think it's on Rampage, not Collision, by the way.
Either way.
The match that I'm talking about. The winner to get into the ladder match. I think it's on Rampage, not Collision.
Well, if it's on Rampage, that's why it's spoiled, because you know.
Well, no, that's why, because well, it is on Rampage, by the way.
But didn't they film Collision early this week too?
Yeah.
Did they?
I think so. Maybe I'm thinking of last
week. Yeah, they filmed it the same day as Buffalo. So.
But either way, okay. Takeshita is the only other choice if it's not Perry. But I feel like they want the Elite draped in gold. So we're gonna get a big celebration segment on Wednesday with Okada holding his title, Perry holding his title, the Bucks holding their titles. And then, of course, somebody will come out and ruin it.
Ruin it. So you well, like
ruin
it.
Ruin it for them.
Oh, like, okay.
Save it for us.
I mean, I do like it because I'm sorry, but like I'm enjoying Okada, bitch.
Jesus, I'm like just not professional today. It wasn't even freaking Action Andretti. It was AR Fox he faces.
Oh.
Oh, so AR Fox versus?
Yeah.
AR Fox versus who?
El Fantasma.
El Fantasma. Oh, I have no idea who wins there. Probably our... No, I don't know.
It's El Fantasma who I think deserves to go.
Okay.
Because AR Fox, we haven't really seen him much at all.
Yeah, it had to have been Action Andretti. It would have made sense storyline wise.
I looked at AEW's account and it's AR Fox versus El Fantasma.
Okay, oh. that's fine. Yes.
There we go. Brinley helping us out. Right there. This week's Rampage was filmed in Allentown last week. Collision on Saturday was taped after Dynamite this Wednesday.
Thank you. There you go. Thank you.
Brinley, we're going to need you here every week on Fridays.
Yes, so now you have to be here every week, please.
Thank you very much.
Like you've done this to yourself?
Yep. We are keeping you to this. Thank
you. One of us. Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
She's in that big ass thread.
I'm so sorry, sweetie.
Don't apologize.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I don't feel like apologizing because I have no idea because I muted it. Like,
I know.
MJF taking on Hachisero. Thank you.
Another guy Tony put over big in our interview.
What are you opening? What are you eating?
I'm not eating anything. I'm using a wipe to wipe my hands off.
Oh, I was like,
oh sure, okay. So
I was like, please don't go there. Please don't go there. I'm using a wipe to.
Yeah. Okay.
MJF wins.
MJF wins here. Match is going to be really good, but the thing is, that's one of the reasons why Forbidden Door this year is so meh for me. One of the reasons is this match. I don't care for Forbidden Door, and I don't care about this match because all of the other stuff that they did this week with MJF. Solely for that reason, because I saw how incredibly good that could be in the future, and now all of a sudden I don't care about this match. The match is gonna hum, by the way. Hechicero is a wonderful in-ring competitor. MJF, I want to see the guy back. Like I saw one match between him and Roosh. I want to see more. MJF, we don't get to see wrestle that much in his first run in AEW. I want to see if they do something else with him this time. Again, I'm sure the match is going to be wonderful, but I'm just not hyped for it.
I mean, MJF even kind of mocked it in his own promo when he's like, I'm going to be facing some random lucha guy in a mask, like,
yeah,
before exactly. It was even announced that the match would happen. Like, I get that that's MJF's whole thing, but, you know, he sort of devalued the match before it even got announced.
Exactly.
He basically made sure that nobody thinks it's important. And it's really not. There's no story here. Like, they tried to add a little bit of something by having Hechicero teaming with a few other people on Dynamite. And it's like, okay. Like, it's one of those matches where it doesn't really have to have a very long, complicated story. It's going to be fun. But, yeah, we all know MJF's going to win.
Exactly.
We will move on to our next one. Bryan Danielson taking on Shingo Takagi. Hell yeah. Bryan Danielson is going to get this win because I think he is going all the way to winning the Owen Hart Cup. So there you go. And now you know. Maggie, what do you got?
This is actually 100% what I'm thinking. If Bryan Danielson doesn't actually win the Owen, I feel like he will be in the final match. So I do have Bryan winning here. It's not exactly, you know, I would have been okay if this was a Dynamite match. I would have been perfectly fine, but because Forbidden Door is right there, they have the match there. I'm sure it's gonna be awesome, but I feel like it's pretty obvious that Bryan Danielson's winning. And if he's not, I'll be incredibly shocked. Chris?
Yeah, I don't know if Bryan will win the whole Owen, but I don't think there's any way he's losing here. Unless they pull some BS shenanigans with somebody and try to start a new feud with Bryan. Somebody runs Ooh. Down and costs him or whatever, who knows. But Ooh. Yeah, I don't know.
No, I said boo, not who.
Oh, I thought you were saying.
No, boo. I don't want anyone to interfere in you know, Bryan Danielson business.
Wasn't there originally, or am I thinking of the Continental Classic where there was a rule about no interference?
Continental.
Yeah, Classic. Okay.
You know, yep. Too many tournaments and rules and everything.
They have a tournament every month, it feels like, don't they?
They do. Well, they do. Well, and like in their defense, they didn't think that they had to have the TNT Championship ladder match and all the tournaments living, you know, the matches leading to the ladder match and everything. Like they didn't know that they were about to do that.
Oh. All right, we move on to our next match. Hiroshi Tanahashi and the Acclaimed taking on the Elite in a trios match. The Elite win. Oh, hell yeah, they win.
This match makes no sense.
Hey, you know what? We get Tanahashi and we get Okada in the ring together. I will
not complain. 10 years later.
It's fine. It's all good in the hood.
I know the match is going to be fun. That's it. Like, it's not going to be a 5-star match. It's going to be fun. But sometimes the goofiness is a bit too much for me because they go to the ring. They don't even know that they're going to have a trios match against each other. But Billy Gunn has already have footage of Tanahashi saying that he's the scissor ace. That's so stupid. And this is probably me not being on board with the Acclaimed. How are the Acclaimed faces? I will never know. This is really weird to me. And I hope the Elite kick the ever-living shit out of them.
All right.
Yes. Like Darby Allin levels of kicking their asses. Like, I don't care. Like, do something in kayfabe, of course, to Max Caster's vocal cords, okay? Like, just do it. And his fingers, just so he doesn't tweet. Like, I don't know. Like, do something to the guy.
Shave his mustache kayfabe. Too.
Shave his mustache, too. Yeah, his hair, his stupid hat. Just fucking everything, okay? Like, break his headphones. Listen, fuck you.
Honestly, I'm over the Acclaimed too. Like, I want Bowens on a singles run. Caster, they can do whatever they want with him. And I think, you know, Billy Gunn's a coach and stuff. He's got other things to do. He doesn't need to be on TV.
Correct.
Bowens is wonderful, by the way. Thumbs mm-hmm. up for Bowens. Yeah.
All right, so it sounds like we are all in agreement there.
Yeah, the Elite. The
we will go on to our next match. Zack Sabre Jr. taking on Orange Cassidy.
I swear to fucking God. I swear to you. If Zack Sabre Jr. loses Orange Cassidy.
Oh, hold on. We got some breaking news coming on. It has been changed. The OC is taking on Zack Sabre Jr.
California.
So there you go. So the OC taking on Zack Sabre Jr. Yes, the cast of the OC. So there you go, Maggie. All right.
Sorry. I mean, did Soupy make this? Or
did... No, I did. I did.
Yeah, did. Oh, okay. Listen,
I hear Misha Barton listen. Saying with Minoru Suzuki.
Yeah. That would be kind of entertaining.
Yeah, okay, so... If Zack Sabre Jr. loses to Cassidy, I'm going to flip a switch here. I'm not even kidding. And this is me saying I'm not Kate, okay? I'm not Kate. I feel like, okay, enough is enough with the Orange Cassidy push, okay? Like I was on board with the whole mimosa thing. And the pool and the champagne and the orange bollocks and stuff. Like, I was there, okay? I was there. This isn't funny anymore. It's not funny, and I will not stand for this. Zack Sabre Jr. probably should make Orange Cassidy tap out in about 8 seconds. Probably. And then he can use the remainder of the 10 minutes they have for the match ranting backstage.
I would love it if Orange Cassidy refused to take his hands out of his pockets, and that's how Sabre was able to submit him. He just puts him in like a sleeper and Cassidy won't fight it.
I don't care. Just fucking pin the guy. Tap out. I don't give a fuck.
I feel like Trent is going to have some involvement in this match somehow.
It really does not matter. I just want Zack Sabre Jr. to win because I love Zack Sabre Jr. Not Kate levels of love Zack Sabre Jr., you know? But I love the guy. TMDK rule, okay? Someone buy me a jacket. But, like, just why is my heart okay? Someone turned off my heart monitor and I'm pissed off, apparently. Yeah, just I'm gonna be livid if Cassidy pulls out a win here. Like I mentioned in the beginning, we have to be building towards the third match between Zack Sabre Jr. and Bryan Danielson. You cannot possibly build towards that by fucking Orange Cassidy beating you before that. No, I refuse to do that. I no.
All right. Well, we have some super chats. We're going to read real quick. Ricardo, thank you. He says the end needs to be orange pretzels. Go for some pretzels. Ryan,
they have a whole pretzel
I don't understand.
Thing.
Am I missing? I don't understand that. Do you want him tied up like a pretzel when Zack Sabre submits him? Is that what
I think
saying?
That's what he means? But okay. If you want to clarify, Ricardo, just in case
I was very not. Confused. That's
it, basically, yes, and that's a two-pointer, by the way. Kudos because there's a whole thing with pretzels in Orange County. So that's yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
gotcha.
No, Ryan. And, boo you! Boo you! Okay.
Boo you!
Zack
new...
Sabre Jr. Fuck your rules. Hey, suck your Orange Cassidy.
Soupy, you're a mod. Can you ban Ryan?
No, Ryan.
No,
a
Ryan
mod
pays.
Also.
No, Maggie likes to throw F bombs at him, but other than that, it's no. We'll move on. This match
please,
I'm very excited for.
Please.
Naito, challenging for the New Japan IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, John Moxley.
I mean, yes, please. I was going to tell you that I'm, you know, one of the hosts in the show. Please remove the Boo Maggie super chat. Thank you for removing the super chat.
You're welcome.
Also, yes, Naito is totally bringing home the championship.
Correct.
Agreed.
Yes. Yep.
And the reason why I think that's the case is I think we're going to see Moxley on AEW TV more. Yes. That's why. So.
All the sense in the world. You don't need. You don't even need to switch back to us. Just put on the next graphic.
Correct. He says the Asian Joe says Naito wins as a traditional or transitional.
Transitional.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Traditional.
He is traditional.
Faux show. Toni Storm defending her AEW Women's World Championship against Mina Shirakawa.
Is Peggy still in the chat? Because this is the match I know she's looking forward to the most.
I mean, it's going to be a really, really wonderful match. I do not see a world where Mina Shirakawa wins the AEW Women's Championship. But the match has so much storyline in it, and that's why it's so interesting to me. What will Mariah May do? Who will she choose? And everything. And Mina Shirakawa did accidentally hit Mariah May with a champagne bottle. By the way, I thought that me saying champagne like that will pop Chris more because it's a Futurama reference.
I'm just trying to be polite. It did pop me. I love
you
a
like
good Zafranigan reference.
It's pronounced champagne. Oh no.
All right.
I love a good Zafranigan reference.
I think we all agree that
Big Z.
That Miss Toni Storm will be winning this match.
Yes, Toni Storm.
But does she leave with Mariah?
Who gets Mariah? I feel like we all win here.
That's a good question.
Or maybe, like, part of me wants the end of the storyline to be Mariah realizing she doesn't need anybody and just goes off on her own. But I doubt that that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Or Britt Baker returns and she goes with her. That won't happen. I'm just joking, but...
I miss Britt Baker.
I do too.
But...
I do as well.
I miss
Jamie Hayter more.
Jamie Hayter more, yeah. But like in
I actually kind of miss Rebel more than Britt too.
Yeah, no. I miss Britt Baker a lot when it comes to importance of the women's roster and mic time, and because like when she got on the mic, like things happened. If you remember,
her return has to be a big deal.
Yeah, it has to be a big deal.
Because it's been so long.
Exactly. I do miss Jamie Hayter in ring-wise more because her in the ring was something else. Yeah, I miss them both in a different way. But yes, I do wish for Britt Baker to be back. I mean, like, she... I just really like Britt Baker.
All right.
She's wrong about the Big Mac, the sandwich.
What did she say about the Big Mac?
She removes the middle bread part and she eats it like that.
Oh.
Hmm. All right. So we go to our main event.
Brit Mac.
Isn't that literally just a double cheeseburger?
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, with special sauce, I guess. But anyways, we will move on to the main event. Swerve Strickland defending his AEW World Championship against the AEW International Champion, Will Ospreay.
Before we do that, isn't it weird that we don't have the tag or trios titles being defended on this show?
It's not weird, Christopher. It's annoying.
That's true.
Yeah. But
it's also annoying that on a show called Forbidden Door, the international championship is not being defended.
I mean, if they went title for title, then they wouldn't be able to have a clean finish. Because I know
I understand that.
But it like, is weird.
Maybe Ospreay doesn't have a championship match right now. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Who do you got? I mean, you know, they could have had Ospreay face like Shota Umino, and then Swerve could have taken on somebody else. Like, there was a lot of options they had, but I do find it funny that Ospreay was already promising title shots before he even had the belt.
Well,
that was so funny.
This is what's very confusing, because we didn't talk about this because we don't know if they made it official, because there's also talk about the trios match between Jericho and
The Learning Tree. And
did we even talk about that?
Well, that's the thing. You know, I don't know if it's an official match yet.
Yeah, it's on the card.
Well, everything that I've seen is not.
I mean, it's listed on...
It wasn't
before Jericho and Suzuki?
Yeah, nothing I've seen. Like, I looked at their website, I looked online, I can't find anything on it.
Right now on Wikipedia, I know it's not
reliable. I know, that's why we don't.
That's still listed as the trios match, but Jericho versus Suzuki does seem to be the way that they were going as of.
Well, let's just say hypothetically, if it's Ichiro. Yeah, Ichiro Suzuki taking on Chris Jericho. I'd say Suzuki wins with the baseball bat. Anyways.
You think they'd have the FTW title go to Suzuki?
I would love it. I think
I'd love it too, but I don't think... I don't know. I feel like the FTW title being like it belongs to Taz, basically. Shit.
Yeah, there's that one too.
Yeah, we missed a few. I was going to say, there's no way we're already done with
this. Yeah, there's no way we're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mercedes and Stephanie. That'll be a good one.
Mm-hmm, so, anyways, let's just go ahead and say that I'll say this. If they do Jericho versus Minoru Suzuki, Jericho wins. If they do the trios match, I think Samoa Joe's team wins. There you go. Well,
who's the third person in the learning tree?
Well, it was Jeff Cobb.
Yeah,
that's who was listed.
It was listed. It listed as Jeff Cobb.
Jeffrey Cobb
for now.
Okay. Yeah. If it's like that, I don't know who wins in that trio champion. In that trio's
storyline, I think you have to go with Samoa.
I'm not ready for Hook, Joe, and Shibata as a trio to lose a match, because I feel like there's future gold in that trio. I mean, like a trio like that makes me believe in them reinventing the trios titles, because they've been crap for a while now. By the way, kudos for them for taking Buddy Matthews out of the picture just so he can go and get married. Bravo. That was so good.
Subi says Suzuki is going to chop a tree with his bare hands.
That's Thank you. Perfect. Thank you. You are my favorite right now. Thank you.
Samoa Joe, Hook, Shibata are my new Blackpool Combat Club.
Shibata should have been in Blackpool Combat
Club. Oh, sounds like Doc May.
What? What's a spoiler? Oh.
Probably the match you gave away.
I don't know. I don't care.
Who's on first? Who's on third?
I'm sorry, everybody.
No, it's fine. It's confusing. Was it announced? As all hell.
When was it announced?
On Collision or Rampage, assuming. And I spoiled it because it's already listed on Wikipedia.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
That's okay. It shit happens.
You jerk, but that's fine. So the TBS Championship match.
Oh, yeah, the ladder match. Jesus.
Well, and that's for both titles. So Mercedes is walking out with the strong title and the TBS title, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Mercedes. The match is going to be absolutely wonderful. I cannot wait to watch Stephanie because, like, I'm not that familiar. And
I've seen, she's good.
Yes. That I've seen really little. But I cannot wait for this match because I've missed Mercedes Moné in a ring, and I'm kind of anxious every time. So I can't wait for this match. Mercedes Moné, obviously.
I was one of those people who was like, I'm so tired of them like waiting to use Mercedes. Like, I know it took a while for her to get fully cleared, but like once she finally got in the ring with Willow, I was like, all right, it was worth it. Cause that match was awesome.
It was.
And I feel like she's going to bring it again here.
Yes.
Yep. So you, it sounds like we're all in agreement here that Mercedes wins.
Yeah.
Yep. Both belts. Okay.
So then we have the, now is the main event, or are we forgetting one?
Well, I think now we...
You know what? When it comes to AEW, I feel like they have, I don't know, like 1,000 match card.
Just
cut it down.
All right.
Just freaking cut it down.
Yeah, it looks like we went through everything else.
Okay. So.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so the main event between Swerve Strickland and Will Ospreay for the AEW Championship. I don't think there's any way Will Ospreay wins here. I do recall that there, because like backstage they showed the family, right? And Trent, the new guy in the group, Trent, was really, hey, did you hear what he said? Like, he said he doesn't need us. And I'm like, why is this a bad thing? Jesus. He said that he doesn't need you, not that he hates you.
Also, you just got here, Trent.
Also, you just got here.
Cool down. Like, who are you to
chill? Chill.
You're the new kid.
Yeah. So I do see some sort of fuckery here. Because I feel like they want to protect Will Ospreay, because like it's, I feel like Will Ospreay is Tony Khan's new shiny toy. And because we all sense the absence of Kenny Omega, and I think TK wants to put that weight on Will Ospreay's shoulders. I have no problem with that, just as long as he's absolutely aware that they are totally different people. So I do feel like 100% Swerve will win here. I do, again, probably in a weird way, I'm predicting not so much of a clean finish. That's all I can put it in. Doc?
Yeah, I can't decide if it's going to be the Don Callis family that pulls some crap with Ospreay or if it's going to be a clean finish. But either way, Swerve is keeping that belt. There's no way that we're getting a 2-month title reign for Swerve after he was like literally the hottest thing in AEW during that buildup.
Absolutely.
And I hate to say it, but I feel like they've not dropped the ball, but they're fumbling with it right now. Swerve's reign could still be good, but so far it has not lived up to the build. For me, I think this match and a win, a clean win over Ospreay, could be really, really good for him. And I hope that's what happens.
Well, I like the story with him and Christian, because like the promos back and forth were really good, and you know the photos of the family and everything, and I'm your father and everything. It was so like, where's your daughter? I enjoyed that. Like, I'm not talking about the match specifically, because the match was just absolutely fine. It was a Christian Cage match. It was good, but like the story leading to the match, I enjoyed. But I 100% see what you mean here.
I feel like he needs his big rival. And MJF could be that person.
Yes.
But we haven't really seen it yet. And it's too bad that we don't know what's going on with Keith Lee all the time. Like, we know injuries and health things have been a concern, but like, if Keith Lee was around, that could be his big rival, you know, like,
yes,
that would
be
great.
It makes sense.
I think what I think is going to happen is I think MJF is going to cost Will Ospreay accidentally. Or no, he's not going to cost him accidentally. He's going to cost him, I think. I think he's going to cost him the title based off this Wednesday's Dynamite. And I think, this is my opinion, I believe, like I said, I believe that Bryan Danielson is going to win the Owen, and we're going to get Danielson versus Swerve at All In, and Danielson will win just so he can drop it the next month in at WrestleDream. So that's what I think is going to happen. But
do you think MJF costs Will Ospreay his championship next week on Dynamite versus Daniel Garcia too?
Ooh, that would be freaking awesome if it did happen that way, but I don't
know. Because that's right there.
Yeah, that would be good.
That would be real good. That segment made Daniel Garcia look so good because you had like two top guys.
Two top guys wanting to face him. That's it.
Right. It was really good.
I'm sorry for cutting you off. Will Ospreay killed two birds with one stone. Like, Will Ospreay put over Daniel Garcia and overstaged MJF in one single segment. He just...
Yeah, that little look towards MJF at the end before leaving was perfect.
Like, he said everything he wanted to say to Daniel Garcia. He didn't even say one word to MJF, and he just left as if no one else is in the ring.
He did look at him right before he left, though. And
yeah,
that was
he
perfect
did.
Because he basically looked at him and was just like, fuck you.
Bitch.
Yeah. So, there you go. Doc, plug your shit.
You can find all my work on Bleacher Report. You can find me on Twitter at @BR_Doctor. And I will also plug, this is the piece you can see right there. That's the latest thing that Sonya DeWitt made for me. I had her remake a Ali versus Frazier fight poster for Becky and Rhea. I thought it turned out really good. And she has one more piece to work on for me, and it's going to be Naomi, Bianca, and Jade in their Mania gear.
Nice.
Oh, that is so good.
But I'm giving Sonya free reign to draw them in whatever poses or anything she wants. I just want it to kind of look like a comic book cover with the three of them being superheroes.
I mean, they were superheroes.
Yeah.
That is so good. I really want to see what happens. That is so good.
Yeah, I'm really excited. She's the three she's made for me, the Willow and Chris one. Like, and the cool thing about when she does something is like every time she's given me multiple versions. So like the Thunder Rosa piece, I have like two or three versions of that. This, I have this worn one on the brick background with like a little tear in the corner, and then I have a clean version. Mm-hmm. And then with the Willow and Chris one, she added Stokely in there just for fun. I had no idea she was going to do that. So if anybody wants any art made, please go and look at her stuff and think about commissioning her, because she does great work.
Yeah.
So great.
Well, thanks, man, for joining us. And
yeah, thanks for having me.
We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Take care, guys.
Peace out. Maggie, I was able to find us a Cooper effect. So here we go.
Yay.
Because Maggie, what is one thing that we love?
I can't say that on the air, Rob.
Okay. What is it, something else that we love? We love love. So
okay.
We talked about it earlier. So
what I meant.
I thought, why not give these two the Cooper effect?
Yay!
Buddy Murphy and Rhea Ripley got married earlier this week, and we want to say congratulations to them for getting married. Congratulations to both of them. You know, that's one thing that when people do things that make them happy or stuff like that, you can't go wrong. So Rhea Ripley and Mr. Buddy Murphy, I feel bad for Dominic, but I think he'll recover.
I don't. Like he got married like a couple of months ago. Yeah, so that's fine.
Did you see Kathy Kelly's tweet?
No.
She goes, has anybody checked on me? Or why hasn't anybody checked on me or something like that? Because it's one of their bits that they've had that she's in love with Rhea. And but
that's so good.
Yeah, congratulations to them too, because you know they're
Ripley and Buddy Matthews are one of the cutest couples on social media, because like they when they're in the gym, like she always, because like she looks like a monster, okay, and she's always lifting those weights, and Buddy Matthews is there like looking at her as if she's a creature that's different from a person. Like that is so great. Like putting over your spouse will always be something that will melt my heart, my ice cold heart, okay?
Yeah,
putting over women, like what's that like? I love them as a couple. Best wishes to both of them. This is so great. I love. I don't often say that, but it's always something to be looking forward to.
So congratulations to them. Doc says a couple that does leg day together stays together. There you go. So SmackDown tonight, we'll get talking about like Dijak and stuff here shortly, but SmackDown tonight, a couple of things. Tonight is going to be Kayla Braxton's last night with WWE. She's going to be leaving. We know that I'm a big fan of hers, so wish her luck, the best of luck, depending on what she does next. I think she'll be great at it. So there's wish her the best. We definitely wish her the best. She was really good at her job, and one of my favorite moments obviously is hey Kayla. So I miss that. I was hoping we would get that at least one more time, and maybe one day we will. So
maybe one day we will. I adored her with the Bloodline. Her and Paul Heyman was always something I was looking forward to when watching SmackDown.
This needs to happen for sure. One final Heyman and Kayla backstage moment better be.
Yes.
I agree with you're that. Absolutely right. 100%. Tonight, we don't do SmackDown previews as much as we used to, but because it's in Madison Square Garden. It's
kind of an important one.
Yeah. You got the Bloodline acknowledgement ceremony. Jade Cargill versus Candice LeRae, Tiffany Stratton for the Money in the Bank qualifying match.
Tiffy time.
You have Naomi versus Blair Davenport and Indy Hartwell.
Blair Davenport's main roster debut is going to be in the
Money in the Bank
Madison
qualifier.
Square Garden.
Yeah, how about that? That's cool. Good for her. And you also have LA Knight versus Logan Paul versus Santos Escobar in a Money in the Bank qualifying match.
Go Santos.
That's what I actually hope happens. I hope LA Knight and Logan Paul.
They cost each other the match. Santos Escobar goes towards Money in the Bank. And actually, LA Knight and Logan Paul fight for that amazing United States Championship that they have, that they obviously forgot about, at Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. So, Maggie, somebody else is leaving the WWE.
Yeah.
Dijak.
Well, not leaving. They
he's technically leaving, but he's gone. Fightful got to have an interview. We interviewed him yesterday exclusively. He had his first interview with us over an hour with us.
Well, he's a Fightful Select subscriber, so.
doesn't surprise me.
Subscribe to Fightful Select, by the way. I totally forgot to say that.
Yeah.
Dijak and subscribe to Fightful Select.
But yeah, there's a lot of you want to talk about dropping the ball on somebody, man. Damn it. like they dropped the ball on him. He was so good. He his last NXT run was really good. Yeah, and this is true. Dijak's departure gave Corey Michaels another viral tweet. So
I've been off Twitter. What the hell happened? So I missed so much. Like, send the tweet to me right now, Corey. Right now. Please.
So yeah, there's that. The just some of the matches that he's had were just outstanding. Like, you know, like just really good. And I think he's somebody else that they'll regret dropping the ball with. You know, I don't get like some of their, I don't get their thought process with some of the people they let go, but that's me. Yeah. Again, it's easy for me to spend somebody else's money. You know, like I would keep him around. I think he's great. So
I'm sorry. I just saw Corey's tweet. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. So, and I know he's going to have some great matches wherever he goes. So it was just very odd that they did not offer him a contract. That's what I find very weird about all of this. Anyways.
I feel like Dijak leaving, I mean, like that was really, really weird, because in his words, he was supposed to be heading towards an NXT championship opportunity when he was actually drafted to the main roster, which was kind of a shocker for him. And then they did absolutely nothing with him. So I kind of feel like this is the biggest loss ever since Triple H took over control of the company. And I kind of felt like he was a Triple H guy. I don't know if I'm wrong or anything, or I read something wrong. It's really weird because, like, if you look at Dijak, how he looks, how he carries himself in the ring, he totally looks like someone who would have been incredibly pushed years ago on the main roster. I just don't get it. I mean, talk about matches. Even his goofy-ass match against Joe Gacy was ridiculously entertaining to watch. Like, a big-ass glove punched him in the face. Like, that's all you need to know. And it was still an incredibly entertaining match because everything he did was good. So, yeah, this is kind of a bummer for me. So, the triple threat. This still leaves a bitter taste in my mouth because it's the triple threat between him, Obafemi, and Double Vest. What do you call it? Brooks Jensen.
Yeah, Brooks Jensen.
No, not Jensen. The other. His tag team, his former tag team partner.
Oh, God, what was his name? That was their team name. It was
Josh Briggs. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, my brain. Yes. Josh Briggs, yes, the triple threat. I don't remember the premium live event that it was on. It was right before... It was WrestleMania weekend, right? Because I was watching it live. Yeah, I was watching it live. So it was an incredibly good match, and I was pissed off at the ending. Because Dijak was practically pinning Josh Briggs, and Obafemi grabbed him by the throat. And technically, Dijak was still pinning Josh Briggs when Dijak grabbed him by the throat. And the referee just stopped counting. And I'm like, why are you counting? He totally got screwed over in this match. And I'm pissed off because he basically won. He pinned Josh Briggs. And I was pissed off. Justice for Dijak. This was my legitimate tweet. Justice for Dijak. He had that match won. And it pissed me off. And now he's not even there anymore. I mean, he was obviously pissed off himself. And he left. No.
Yeah,
but really, really weird decision in my book. So as he told in that letter that he wrote, obviously with a pencil, right? I mean, it's not printed or anything. It's obviously with a pencil. I know. He just signed it with a pencil. I know. So I am looking forward to whatever he does in the future because I know that he's incredibly entertaining. Anything he decides to do, great. Ali's around the Indies, give me that. So.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
So something else that came out, I believe it was today, they announced that the WrestleMania documentary will be available to be viewed next Wednesday on YouTube. It's finally come out. You can watch actually the first 2 minutes of it now. I know that a lot of people have been waiting to see this. It's very interesting that it went from available during WrestleMania weekend. It was available. They said it would be on, I think, just a few days later. And that following Wednesday, I believe. And all of a sudden, June. It took months. So it would be interesting. June. Yeah. So that was a hell of an edit.
Yeah. But if it's not perfect, it's going to be on your asses. Rob, I kind of have a question for you because I don't feel like we've talked about this on our show at all.
We do have another super chat, so I should probably answer those first if you want. Or do you want to ask your question first?
No. Just go ahead with the super chat.
Okay. So Mike Peterson, thank you for joining. It's been a while, my friend. He says, lots of hearts broken around the world with Rhea and Buddy news. Not mine. Yeah. I'm happy. Dom is free.
Dom can do whatever the hell he wants now. It's as if something's been stopping him.
Yeah. Ricardo says, why are we surprised? They're still WWE. Dijak is fine. That's the thing. They're still WWE, so it shouldn't surprise us. It just does because you just
I don't know why it surprised me, but you always kind of feel like some people are safe, people like Dijak, in which it looked like they trusted him a lot for stuff in NXT. Well,
yeah, if you listen to his interview with Sean, he talks about how they flew him down from, he lived in New Hampshire. He didn't live in Orlando, so they flew him down.
Yeah, exactly.
He was one of the only ones that got to do that. So, I mean, they definitely trusted him and liked him. So, I mean, it's one of those things. Oh, well, it's unfortunate, but. Anyways.
Yes. So my question, Rob.
Yes.
Are you listening? Okay.
Yep.
So how do you, what do you feel about the Liv Morgan and Judgment Day stuff?
I think it's been a ruse. I think it's been planned for a while. I think it's her and Finn Balor working together.
We all know, but how do you feel? Are you because
it's really, I know some people don't like it because of what's going on with WWE, legally with the whole...
I understand that. It's that was kind of a they could have not done that because it's right there, and how did it get past the writing team and the scripts and everything? I will never know. But as a whole, the story has been working for me a lot.
It's been good for me. It's been fine. That's why, like, I don't mind it. I think it's actually been somewhat entertaining. Damian Priest is, like, you know, like, it just feels like all of a sudden, like, you wouldn't, I'm not saying it's going to happen. It would not shock me if Finn Balor cost him the title at Money in the Bank. I don't think it'll happen, but it wouldn't shock me. I think Judgment Day is going to be a mess pretty soon, but I think Rhea Ripley is going to get it back together. But I don't think either Finn's not going to be a part of it or Damian Priest isn't going to be a part of it. One of the two.
Well, it all depends, because the stipulation now for the match between Damian Priest and Seth Rollins will be, if Damian Priest wins, Seth Rollins doesn't challenge Damian Priest for the championship as long as he's champion. But if Seth Rollins wins, Damian Priest has to quit the Judgment Day. And that's when Damian Priest said that he doesn't need Judgment Day, but the Judgment Day need him.
Yeah.
So that's when everything begins, right?
Yeah.
Well, not begins. It's probably been going for a while now. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like the story has been working for me, and like Liv Morgan has been doing all these things for the Judgment Day. She got him all the presents, and Dominic was like, "I didn't like your presents," and then Zelina Vega comes out, and he's like, "I want to help you win, you know, beat Liv Morgan for the championship," and Zelina was like, she called him Sloppy Seconds, and all of a sudden the crowd started chanting Sloppy Seconds. Mm. The thing is, I had forgotten how good Zelina Vega was on the microphone, because she never gets on there. And when she does, they give her a ridiculously Lyra Valkyria promo. Oh, I'm so happy to be here, and you just need to believe in yourself, and it's my home country and everything. No, that's not how you do it. Zelina Vega is good at being a bitch, and just give her that. Just give her that. Like, she's awesome at this. And it's weird that all of a sudden she gets a championship opportunity when she hasn't won a match in years. It's kind of annoying, but I like Zelina Vega, so I'm going to take that. It still makes no sense, by the way. But Liv has been so good in this. It's incredibly good. Like, I understand a lot of people are complaining that it's not actually about the championship. But, like, Liv's character is so good that it kind of overshadows the championship itself.
Yeah.
And the thing that she wanted most was to take everything away from Rhea Ripley. Not to be a champion. This is what she wanted more, to ruin Rhea Ripley's life. He took her championship. Now she takes Judgment Day away, along with Dominic Mysterio. I feel like at the end, when Rhea Ripley comes back, there will be no Judgment Day. And Rhea Ripley will see comfort in Dominic, and he won't be there too. So it's I've enjoyed this more than I should have, probably, but it's so good. In Priest versus Seth Rollins is another match that kind of doesn't make any sense, because like Seth Rollins lost his last match.
Yeah, but then you get your title shot back, you know, you get your rematch.
Yeah, but like, it's a different person.
You still get your rematch.
Rematches weren't a thing for years, and I don't remember them saying that they were back on.
Well, I just assume they were back on.
That's the thing. He was gone. He lost his last match. He was gone for months, and all of a sudden he did nothing, and he gets a championship opportunity.
Yeah.
I understand what you mean. But they did a whole thing about automatic rematches not being a thing anymore. But I totally get it. I'm rooting for this story. It's been filling Monday Night Raw, and I've been all here for this.
Yeah, and Priest challenged him, didn't he?
Yeah, he challenged him, but like, what? Of course he challenged him. But like, why does he get a championship opportunity?
Well, I think that's maybe one way Damian wants to prove that he's a champ. I don't know. I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with it. It's Seth Rollins and Damian Priest. Of course, I'm going to adore the match.
Sounds like you are absolutely pissed and you're never going to watch again.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't like Seth Rollins at all.
Yeah, I know. Before we go, I want you to address AJ Lee. Like the whole Drew McIntyre, like he.
Oh, okay. So, Drew McIntyre took CM Punk's bracelet and it had Larry and AJ's name on it. He said a whole lot of shit about Larry and he said nothing about AJ. I respect that because he knows.
That you will kick
your ass. Gonna be in trouble.
Yeah.
Gonna do whatever the hell you want. Normally, I will defend the dog every time, every day of the year. But this is AJ Lee, so this is a totally different conversation.
Yeah.
So AJ Lee's been most recently came back to social media. So put your shit together, Drew McIntyre. I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying this. It is good. Don't talk shit about AJ Lee, Bucker. I like you.
He's really not.
He knows something that we don't know about the brawl out.
All right, Maggie, pull your shit.
Guys, you can follow me on Twitter, Twix, or whatever, at Maggie_IK, and at Instagram at Maggie.IK. Thank you, Rob.
Guys, you can follow me right here on Twitter at Rob Wilkins. I'm also on Instagram and Threads at Fight4Rob. We will be back next Friday at 3:00 Eastern for Money in the Bank predictions and also Heat Wave. Is that right?
Yep.
Is that the show?
Mm-hmm. Heat Wave.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't remember their PLEs. NXT Heat Wave.
Heat Wave for... will be really good, by the way. It's
going to
be.
So we'll be doing predictions for that and whatever else goes on. Today on Fightful Select, you got Sean Ross Sapp's Q&A. He's also going to have a report, an update on AEW and Warner Brothers TV stuff. So you got that going on. And then you'll also have probably some stuff for AEW's Forbidden Door. He'll probably have some behind-the-scenes stuff this weekend for that. So lots going on Fightful Select, so we want to say thank you for being a member of that. If you subscribe, if you don't, please do. It's worth it. It's worth that $5 every month. But want to say thank you very much for tuning in, and we will see you next week for Judgment Day. Judgment Day. God, I'm having a struggle train. Anyways, we will see you next week for Money in the Bank. How about that? Jesus. It's my first day. I haven't said that in a while. My God, you know, sometimes I just don't have.
No, it. Don't do it.
What? Don't do what? I'm not going to do anything. I'm trying to end this show is what I'm trying to do. For the love of God, everybody's just tired. Like they're like, he can't do it anymore. He's having issues. He needs to start putting work into it. Like he needs to put the
sacrifice, 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 sacrifice.
Yeah, shit like that. And maybe I'll just go to.
Yeah, David Busters, damn it.
I don't know. Just don't know. Maybe I should just.
I guess that means you need to shut the fuck up. That's what I'd do if I had no army. I would fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
I should probably do that. I don't know. Or maybe just say this. Okay, are you done with me now? Okay, I thought so. I could tell. Because I'm not getting any pop from Maggie.
Exactly, no pop.
Thank you, Roman. Appreciate you. All right, guys. We'll see you later. Peace out. Have a great weekend. Enjoy Forbidden Door.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.